So I expect you know how it all turned out, how Jesus changed everything, really the whole world. But before all that, I knew him way back, here in Bethlehem, where my husband Jacob and I still live. My name is Rebecca, by the way. Anyway, Jesus was just a little boy then, 2 years old. And we had no real idea of what and who he would become. We did know there was something special going on, and it had to do with that child. But it was hard to say what exactly it was. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me explain. I'll tell you the whole story. Jacob and I had a little farm on the outskirts of town. And out and back, there was a little one-room house that my in-laws had lived in when they first came to the area. And that's where they lived while they were building the bigger farmhouse. Well, we've given up farming now and have moved into a little house in town to be closer to my daughter and her family. Oh, it's such a joy watching the grandchildren grow up. But anyway, I was just finishing my morning chores there on the farm when a man knocked on our door. And this was Joseph, though we didn't know back then who he was. And what he said was, he knocked on the door and he said, "Could I rent that little house in the back of your farmhouse? Can I rent that little house for my family?" Joseph asked. "We've just moved to Bethlehem from Nazareth." "How do you plan to pay for it?" Jacob, that's my husband, retorted. He didn't trust outsiders, you know. "Mercy, if we'd just known who they were, we would have given it to them. But no one knew, not then." Well, Joseph held out his hands, and he had strong, big hands, calloused from heavy labor. "I'd work for you," he said. "I'd help with the livestock, harvest in the summer, whatever you need." And his eyes were pleading. "We just had a little baby last week," he said. "Oh, that was your baby born in the stable behind the inn," said Jacob. "You know about that?" Joseph was surprised. But he continued, when I can get some carpenter jobs, I can pay you in cash money." Well, I could see Jacob weakening. He looked at me and I smiled and, "Yeah, you can take it," he said gruffly. "But I'll expect to see you first thing in the morning. We've got wood to cut in the hills." Well, they moved in that very afternoon and Mary and I became fast friends. We helped each other out with some of the household chores that you know, go better with two. And I occasionally looked after little Jesus when Mary had shopping to do. And she reminded me of my own daughter. And things went along right enough. Well, so then it was about 2 years later, late at night, probably about midnight, this caravan lumbered into Bethlehem and halted right there in front of our house. Camels were kneeling and their bridles were jingling, riders climbing down from their mounts. Easterners they were, and rich. There were three of them in all, the rich ones, I mean, and then there were a whole bunch of servants, hard to tell how many, as they were bustling all around. And they were looking beyond us to the little house where Mary and Joseph and Jesus lived. And it was bathed in this gentle kind of glowing light. And I looked up and I saw this big star. I guess that was what was shedding its clear light on the house. The rich men, magi, we call them, they didn't seem afraid of this star. They moved toward the little house with their retinue of servants sort of trailing along behind. And through the open door, we could see them kneeling on the dirt floor before the sleeping Jesus. We saw the child star in the east. We knew that it meant a great king had been born among the Jews, greater than any on earth, one of those magi was saying. We came to do homage to such a great king. Well, I could see tears flowing down Mary's cheeks. And the man continued, "We went to Jerusalem, but they knew of no baby kings." Jesus, a king? How could it be? The family was so poor. Joseph was just a farmer carpenter, Mary a peasant girl. I mean, they were lovely, hardworking people and all, but royalty? "We had an audience with King Herod," he went on. "His scholars said the Messiah king was to be born here in Bethlehem of Judah." King Herod seemed troubled by this. And then he paused and he murmured something to the others in their strange Eastern tongue. You could tell they didn't trust Herod. Well, the Magi motioned for their gifts to be brought in, and the first one fumbled with the latches on a strong box and then pushed up the lid. Gold. Under the light from the flickering lamp, coins and ingots sparkled. "For the king," he said simply. And then he bowed down to the ground in front of the little boy, only 2 years old, little Jesus. And he was beginning to wake up. And he just sat there watching. And the second visitor opened his chest. And the fragrance of exotic spices flooded the room. Jesus sniffed and peered into the box. And then the second visitor bowed very low before the child. Then the third one brought the final box containing this fragile alabaster flask. And he pulled out the stopper, and a new smell struck us, heavy and rich. Myrrh, used to anoint the bodies of those who had died. Strange gift for a toddler, I thought, even a royal one. Well, then he replaced the stopper, and then he too knelt with his forehead on the ground before the child. Well, finally, the three excused themselves and sort of backed out of the tiny room. And Joseph reached out to Mary, who took Jesus into her arms, and they just sat there holding each other. And I know they were just trying to understand, to figure out what all of this meant. Now the first magi spoke to Jacob, and he said, "Could we camp in your pasture tonight?" And Joseph just nodded. Neither of us could say a word. And that's a rare occurrence for me, I have to say. Anyone who knows me could tell you that. We were just in awe of the whole situation. And then the servants began unpacking the tents. By now, half the town was standing on the road in front of our house watching, their faces lit up by sputtering torches. And servants trekked back and forth from the donkeys and camels to the three great pavilions they had set up, carrying all sorts of things. Finally, people drifted off to their homes, but I must confess, I didn't sleep much. And the next morning, servants were up early reloading the animals and finally striking those grand pavilions, the great tents. The Magi had been over to Joseph and Mary's house several times to see the child. And then they were just gone, camel bells jingling in the distance. The next night, however, we were awakened by someone beating on our door. Who could that be? after the night before, I could have believed it was anyone, Herod himself. But it was Joseph. And outside, I could see Mary with little Jesus. And Joseph was as white as a sheet. "Come in, man," said Jacob. "You look like you've seen a ghost." "An angel," Joseph replied. "An angel appeared to me in a dream. And he told me, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and escape. For Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.'" And Mary was just shaking all over, so I went over and put my arms around her. "Jacob," Joseph said, "may I borrow one of your donkeys for the journey?" "Of course," we said. And Joseph removed a single gold coin from the folds of his robe. "That ought to cover it," he said, placing it firmly in Jacob's palm. And my husband's eyes lit up, his fingers closed over it, and he was just about to tuck it away when he stopped. And he handed the coin back to Joseph. "No," he said, "I want to give you the donkey. And I wish you Godspeed." And I was so proud of Jacob in that moment. "It's the least we can do," he said, "for you and for the Christ child," as that is what we were realizing he was. And so I bustled about, hard in my throat, putting together some traveling food for the family, while Jacob and Joseph tied the heavy treasure boxes onto Joseph's donkey. And then Joseph helped Mary and baby Jesus, the child, up onto the other donkey, our donkey, and embrace Jacob. "I don't know how we can thank you for what you've done for us these past couple of years," Joseph was saying. "You've made us feel at home. And now we must leave you in the night. Our most sincere thanks." And then he whispered, "You won't tell anyone where we went, will you?" "Where are you going?" "Back to Nazareth." "It's best you didn't know," Joseph said. "But we'll see you again. I'm sure we'll see you again." And with that, he led the donkeys to the road south toward Egypt. I waved, and little Jesus waved back. "Jacob, do you think they'll be all right by themselves with all that treasure?" I asked. And he looked at me with a tenderness and a wonder I only see in him now and again. And he said, "The God who summoned the Magi and sent the angel is right there with them. They're not alone, Rebecca. How could they be alone?" And of course, we all know that they were not alone. God was with them, with Mary and Joseph and with Jesus, and the rest of us for that matter, from then on, and really, forever.